Welcome to We Make Children's Books, the podcast that takes you through the imaginative minds of children's book authors and artists. I'm your host, Barney Smith of StoryComic.com, and in today's episode, we're excited to have with us the internationally acclaimed illustrator, Camila Kroll. Camila, thank you for coming.
Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. So talk to us about, before we jump right into and start talking about this, for some of the folks who are kind of interested in wanting to learn more about your artwork and your style,
Do you want
to give people a bit of a background of how you got into your illustration?
Sure. So I kind of I've always been sort of that kid who liked drawing all the time and reading comics and stuff. So there's no sort of very exciting story with it. But I think it's probably being into comics instead of being into art books and things like that that got me into illustration as well. So it's like I've always loved drawing and painting, but I never thought sort of where I can apply this kind of work. And then when I was in high school and I discovered that graphic novels are a thing, I just thought, this is something that I'd like to do. And I think this is how it started, pretty much. But then when I was 20, I ended up leaving Poland because I'm Polish, I should have said. And so I left Poland and I came to Cardiff, Wales, where I'm still almost 7 years now. That's the story.
Yeah, talk to us a bit about that. How do you do your style?
Yeah, sure. I think sort of doing like the art education, I've tried like a little bit of everything, like different techniques just to see what works for me, sort of like trial and error. But what I really love is like ink drawing and ink and brush and all the brush pens. So it's like really dynamic line. So that's what I'm usually using, and then adding colors in Photoshop. But recently, and especially for more of the comics work, I've been working fully digitally, and that's been also really fun to just like experiment with different effects and brushes. So I guess it kind of depends on the projects and how I feel as well. Sort of jump between fully digital and analog techniques.
When you do digital work, are you using like Photoshop, Procreate? How are you doing this?
It's all Photoshop. Oh. So these ones, the ones on the screen now, they are the traditional drawing with the like, ink brush pen. I think it's the Pentel brush pen. It's really cool. It's kind of like if I could just keep one art tool forever, I would keep that brush pen probably. and then I just scan it in, and then it goes into Photoshop, and everything else is done in Photoshop. I like sort of playing with the colors of the line as well, and with different textures on some drawings as well.
Okay, so you draw it out, pen and paper, and then you scan it in, and then Photoshop it.
Yeah, and especially with the newer work, I'm trying to not just do flat color, I sort of play with different textures and brushes, which is still something that I think I'm experimenting with and sort of trying out different things. But I like the mixture, I think. I like the mixture of traditional and digital
right
together.
And so as you talk about with you know, experimentation and trying new things, what have you noticed recently? Is there something that you've noticed recently that you've tried to experiment with that you say, all right, this is going to be in my tool set. This is something I'm going to be using all the time now. I like what I did here.
Yeah, I think the textures, playing with textures in Photoshop, which I think I've sort of tried to like find, oh, like here, like the little like grainy textures. I've been using loads of different brushes and sort of constantly being not satisfied with the effect. And then something just finally clicked. So I guess like repetition is key in this case. Yeah. I think I really enjoy when a digital image still has that traditional feel to it a little bit, a bit of graininess and I don't like it perfect, if that makes sense. I like when it's a bit of wonky line, a bit of imperfection. I think it just makes it a bit more alive. Mm-hmm.
So talk to us a bit about as well your passion for character design.
Yeah, it's strange. I don't know sort of if there's any explanation to it. I'm just really drawn to drawing people. I'm really drawn to strange characters. I like playing with different shapes and making them slightly exaggerated and stylized. And sort of seeing how can I convey like a certain personality within just like one character drawing. And that's something that I've been practicing for a long time now, I think. And these characters are from my Slavic mythology art book. So that was a really fun series when I was doing a bit of Slavic mythology research and then sort of reimagining different creatures for myself and thinking about like different symbols that they can have. And there's a, I think, 16 of these characters that I've created. It was last autumn. That was really fun to work on.
Now, and so when you put together, when you put this together, so you said, you know, you, at the top of the hour, you went to Cardiff to go to art school, correct?
Yeah.
So for those that might be thinking about this is the time of year people might be applying for school, art school,
yeah.
Would you say how, would you still say the fact that now in this day and age, you can pretty much learn everything online? Is there still importance on going to art school as compared to what you could probably just learn on your own right now?
Yeah, it's really important to think about, I think, personally, and sort of from talking to different people and to different artists. Because people have very different experiences of art school. And I think it does depend on, I guess, what do you need and what you're expecting as well. So I don't think it's necessary to study an art course to then enter the industry. For me personally, it really helped. And I think for me, it was a great opportunity because sort of the amount of resources and the whole community around, for example, my illustration course, that was something that I don't think I would really have the experience anywhere else. And also I think an experience like studying in a different country, it's in itself like a bit of an adventure. And I would really recommend it. I think like it, yeah, it's sort of, yeah, you just can't really get it anywhere else. So right. Yeah, but there are a lot of different ways now to sort of gain the skills and like the amount of sort of workshops and courses. So I guess just sort of it's important to choose
right.
What suits you, yeah.
Now, I was kind of curious to ask you about this, about your artwork. It's there's a level of kind of this 1950s vintage color plate feel to some of your artwork as well. How did you come up with putting together your palette for this?
I think with coming up with a palette, there's just a lot of experimentation and trying things out, but what you said about sort of the mid-century feel to it, I've been looking at a lot of old prints and old postcards and even things like old Soviet postcards and the way that the paper texture is visible on it. So I was trying to have this nostalgic look to this comic. And I guess all the greens, so they can be associated with like being underwater or maybe being in the forest. That was the idea for it.
The image doesn't do it justice, but you do have kind of a pattern, like a filter or an overlay almost to make it feel as though there's this vintage feel to the story.
Yeah, that's it. So there's the set textures that I use throughout this comic that I think contribute to that nostalgic feel. And yeah, I really enjoy that effect. But I don't actually do it in a lot of my other work. I think I just wanted something very consistent and quite like a limited color palette for this story.
Right. And do you have, looking at some of your other work here, and you've done, as you mentioned, some editorial. So you've done some publications and illustrations for some publications.
A little bit, yeah. I've been collaborating with some Polish magazines and some online magazines as well. And it's a lot of illustrating for, I really enjoy illustrating for like lifestyle articles or ones that talk about like psychology, body image, these kind of topics. So slightly straying away from the folklore there.
So where did you find like the textures and stuff? It's like if there's an artist that might be watching and says, hey, I do digital art, where can I find some of these textures?
Textures.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really recommend scanning things in general. Okay. Like sometimes I had bits of like old paper or like crumpled paper that I thought, oh, that might be interesting. Sort of scan it in good resolution. You can experiment with that. You can change things like levels or curves in Photoshop and have really interesting effects. But also there's sometimes you can just get sort of licensed but free texture packs somewhere that actually hit the spot. And again, just trying things out. I think that's the way to go.
Do you have, is all of these comics, or is there going to be in different, are you going to have it in a Polish language, or is it all in English?
It's going to be in Polish, actually. I'm Polish, in the okay. process of translating it now, which is also quite interesting. Because I haven't, I guess, translated my own work before. But yeah, I'm very happy that it's going to be printed in Poland as well. I was lucky enough to talk to some sort of like comics groups in Poland, and I'm collaborating with someone there to have this printed and have it stocked in Poland as well.
So from the translation aspect of things, is there any aspects of the story which seems to be either told in a richer way in English or in Polish, depending on how the translation works?
Yeah, I think some of the expressions or some of the descriptions, I can see I need to tweak them, because if I translate them literally, they're just not going to have the same, I guess, emotion or just the same atmosphere. So that's a really interesting experience trying to like just get this right.
Right.
As well. Yeah, so there is a bit of a difference. But because I wrote it in English to start with, so it's almost like I am translating this now to my first language. So the other way around it happens, yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about designing the comic. Now, you said you worked in Photoshop. Do you then have to do you format it in Photoshop, or do you format it in like InDesign or on any other publishing program?
I think to prepare it for print, this is going to be InDesign. Okay. But at the moment, it's been all Photoshop. And when I worked on the script, that was Photoshop as well. So I've been doing just loads of digital thumbnails and just thinking about different compositions and how the layout of the page sort of might work. And I guess working digitally there is quite useful, because with digital, you can sort of fix and move things around very quickly.
Okay.
So that worked very well.
So you said this was your first go at creating like a long form, you know, graphic novel. Yeah. Did you actually end up sketching things out? Did you have like a list of ideas, or did you write an actual script?
Yeah, it's been all of these things, because I've been working on this story for a really long time. It's one of these things that the idea for it came to me maybe like 3 years ago, and then I had a few attempts of trying to turn it into a bigger story, and it only happened this year. So I had different sketches and notes, sort of both like notebooks filled in with notes and different thumbnails, like just done with pencil. And then this year, when I felt like, yes, I have more structured material, then I can sort of just try to make it in a more organized way. And then I moved everything digitally. But I had just a script that was just written, just text, and then different thumbnails to work on the pages. So I need both text and image, I think, when I plan things out. Sort of in my head, I try to imagine this story like it's an animated film.
Okay.
So I think when I was writing the script, which was just text, it's sort of like a bit of description of what happens in every panel. And then obviously the speech bubbles sort of in different fonts, so I can like visually distinguish it. But it's not a terribly organized script, I have to admit, because it was just for me. So I think it's been a bit chaotic, but it's very descriptive. So I know what kind of atmosphere or emotion I want from every panel. Yeah.
So another piece of advice to give to artists, when you opened this up and you started working on this thing, did you do it at like 300 DPI or did you do it higher?
I usually go for 400.
Okay.
So the 300 DPI is recommended for print, but I'd say for the safety, and especially if you want to work on smaller details and close-ups, then going 400 or even 600 is probably ideal.
For like making like a poster print size.
Yeah, for like A4 and more. If it's just for the screens, then I guess it doesn't matter as much. But then again, if you want to work on more detailed elements, then having higher resolution is always better.
Okay. So let's talk about some world building pieces to this. So you mentioned this is that this is your it's inspired by Slavic mythology. So it's not, you're not just taking the characters and just writing them as it. So you're kind of putting your own twist on it. Mm, is that what you meant by inspired?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you, so is there more? Because I just saw you on here. You had a Baba Yaga t-shirt as an add-on.
I do like
that. Okay. From a Western, Baba Yaga seems to be the most popular. Like when you talk about Slavic mythology, that's the one where she rides around in like in her hut with chicken legs, right?
Yeah. And eats children.
Yeah.
That happens. Yeah, she's I think she's in loads of like pop culture media at the moment as well.
Is there going to be, are you looking at creating like a Rusalka part two, or are you going to do a different book with like a different character inspired by Slavic mythology? What's your plan? What's your long-term game on this? This is exciting.
There's a lot of plans. But yeah, I would love to create the second part of Rusalka, especially that, as I said, I already have a good idea of the script for it. So I'd like it to be a bigger thing. But actually, speaking of Baba Yaga, I also have an idea for a longer story, possibly a graphic novel, and that will be focused on Baba Yaga and is based on a Russian legend called Vasilisa the Wise. Very fun. So yes, I'm hoping to be working with, I guess, adapting all of these old folk tales and adapting them for like a modern audience and having like a bit of a twist for them.
Right. And it's, are there going to be mutually exclusive stories, or are they going to interact at all, or how does, what's your...
I'm not sure yet.
Yeah.
I think at the moment they're separate stories, but they definitely will have some mutual elements just because they are so heavily based on these specific legends. And I think there'll be some common elements to them.
Will, Rusalka be the same color palette, or are you going to change it a bit, or, and then have your other characters have a different color palettes? How is that? What do you envision that looking like?
I think I see Rusalka with this color palette. I think in my head as well, this sort of like underwater foresty colors are just what I associate with that story. But I think for the other projects, I generally really like playing with different color, like different color combinations. Right. So I think I couldn't just sort of stick to one palette for a very long time.
Right.
About different things.
So who would you say the audience is for this? Is it for children, or is it for young adults, or what would you?
I think young adults is probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably the best way. And yeah, but I guess just anyone who's into like dark fantasy or folklore and mythology, I think it's quite a like dreamlike and magical story with like strongly built atmosphere as well. So anyone who enjoys the kind of thing.
What would be some advice that you would also give for folks who are looking to kind of create a long form comic like this? What would be some advice that you would give people?
I'd say don't be afraid to take your time and sort of think things through and try things out. But I think with setting for creating a bigger story, it's really important to pick the topic that you either really care about or just makes you really excited and feel passionate about it. Because, well, I'm still quite new to comics. And what I have discovered is that it really takes so much more work than you would think, I guess. So, I think if it's something that you're really passionate about, then that's super important. And yeah, for me, it really helped taking notes and planning out elements of the world. And even though it's a short story, sort of imagining it as a part of a bigger world, it makes it seem more real, even if it's just for you while you're creating it.
Where do you see the best response, community response that you've seen? Is it through Twitter? Is it through, where's your community mostly coming from, do you think?
I think Instagram is my main platform at the moment, and I had a really lovely response and people were really like, connecting with it, which was great. Also, surprisingly, like the comics Facebook groups, like there's some really great places there. So I had a really amazing response from like the Polish comics community, sort of way more enthusiastic than I even anticipated at the beginning. I really, really appreciate that. Yeah, it's been really great.
And so that would be kind of the recommendations, kind of find your family in a way, find the people that you kind of connect with the most and help with that.
Yeah, I think so. Because at least for me, I think that's like, I guess the most genuine, because you have a group of people and you're sort of passionate about the same medium or the same topic. And yeah, I think that's the part of it that I enjoyed the most, is actually like talking to people and talking to other artists about the work and like connecting on that level. I think that's really important.
And where do you see also is, you know, some advice on looking at some passive income aspects of things? Because I do see you also have an Etsy page.
I think it works really well. And if you can sort of hit the niche as well with your work, that can work very, very well. But it does take a bit of self-promoting, I guess, as everything does. Mm. But, and I would recommend the Etsy as the platform as well, because they have their own search engine. So you can really get completely new people coming to your work through that.
What do you seem to be that people seem to gravitate more towards?
The Slavic mythology art book is by far, I think, people are drawn to it the most. Yeah, I'm actually planning to release some more prints over the next month. But yeah, I think print sales and stickers as well. Like people like sort of little things as well, like stickers and patches.
And where can people, if people are interested in learning more about your work, where can they find you?
So through my website, if you like, there's links to all my social media, but I'm on Instagram as a pigeon X person and on Twitter as your little pigeon. There's all different versions of the pigeon. I'd say if you'd like to check out my work, I'm mostly hanging out on Instagram.
Okay. Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Camila, aka Pigeon, for coming on the show. This has been great.
Thanks, it's been great. Thank you. Well, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
You're welcome. Okay.